Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18 I'm going to read. And let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Amplified says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding, I like this, their unfolding gives understanding, and it further qualifies and expands this in the Amplified. It says, discernment, comprehension, and comprehension to the simple. So what this is saying here is that the unfolding of his word continues to give us insight, discernment, and comprehension into the Word of God. And we've been talking in these messages about the Father's purpose. Well, as I had shared with you, the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago, and he said, God's actions have purpose. So all of God's actions have purpose or have a purpose. And I went on to just highlight that God's word, we know this, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So his purposes, his will is settled in heaven. Can't be altered, can't be changed, it's settled. And of course, in Matthew, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I like God's Word translation. It says, the earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear. His words, his will is settled. And so he is eternal. His words are eternal. His purposes are eternal, and his purposes, as I said, have eternal consequences or value. So his purposes have eternal consequences. We know that. The minute we just got done reading it. Those who've accepted Christ and believe on him are not condemned, but they receive eternal life. That's an eternal consequence. I've received eternal life. And those that don't are damned. That's eternal. That's an eternal consequence. And so his purposes have eternal consequences and value. And so that ought to help as far as even where healing is concerned. Healing is forever settled. And that's eternal. And so is my freedom from sin and sickness. It's eternal. It's settled. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to ask God, please help me, free me. He said, I already have. And it's eternally done. It's settled. And so we can just take it and do what? Walk in it. And walk in his eternal promises. And so we spent some time. I'm not going to go back over that. At some of the things that we've shared. But one of the things I wanted to just take a moment this evening, this kept coming up in my heart today. It kept rolling around. Luke 8, and I read this Sunday. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. That's chapter 8, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. So the seed, the word of God, has potential or purpose in it. The seed of God has potential. It has purpose. It is the will of God. It is the purpose of God. So impregnated in that seed is the will of God. Impregnated in that seed is the purpose of God. So I was sharing and spent some time sharing that, and I'll go on here, the seed is his will and purpose. The seed of God, the word of God, is his will and his purpose. And here's another thought. The seed is light. The seed, the word of God, is light. It is light. So as we walk in the seed planted and revealed in us, we will be walking what? In his purpose. In his will. And so that's why I was sharing Sunday that some folks, it could be new Christians, bug. Dead bug. I'm sorry. Squash bug. Huh? Now we're even? The fly. Okay, yeah, you. Okay, he's. Anyways. But you notice that I just made a point, and I was sharing with Pastor Greg on Tuesday that as I was teaching on Sunday, it became rhema to me and clear to me in a way that I had not seen it before. That Christians sometimes are bumping around wondering, what am I here for? What am I doing? What is my purpose in life? And I was sharing that people that I have interacted with, a few in particular, that the minute they got born again, they said it was like someone lifted a shade and a veil and they understood what their purpose was. And I've always reflected on that and thought about that, that the minute you get the seed, the incorruptible seed of God in you and you are born again, his purpose and will is in that seed. And so it also says, not says, but it also explains to me that the more you get of God's word in you, and the more you grow in the word of God, you will know fuller what your purpose is. Instead of, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know, where should I go, what am I doing? Should I get this job, should I not get that job, should I work here, should I go there, should I do this? The more you fellowship, the more you walk in the light, the more you will walk in his will, and the more you will know his purpose for you. So if you don't know his purpose, or it's not clear, then you need to spend more time in him and with him. And he will unfold that. See, we may only know a part, and as I was sharing, it says, as we walk down this path, that we know as much light as we know here. As we walk, what does it say? That as we walk on this path, it grows brighter and brighter unto the full dawning. So you're only going to know as much as you know where you are on this path, and that's all you need to know. And he may give you what you need to know concerning your purpose. You're not going to know it all, but you're going to know what you need to know. For me, quit your job and come work in the ministry. That was my purpose at that point to quit my job and come work here. He didn't give me to rest. That's all I knew. That was my purpose. Now, as I walked further, it became clearer and clearer and clearer. And it's becoming clearer and clearer as I grow, as I mature, as I spend time with Him. My purpose is becoming brighter. You understand what I mean by that? Not, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I am sure. And so, yeah, you may walk through some difficult times, but you know your purpose and you won't give up in that purpose because you're set to run a race. That means I'm going towards a goal. I'm going towards something. That's my purpose in life. So I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit, you see. So, one of the things that was just rolling around as I was coming in was 1 John 1 and 7, or 6. It also says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, that means if we walk in the light, we're walking in His will, we're walking in His purpose. As He is in the light, we have fellowship. And also, if you go down to, if you're looking, you can go down to 1 John 2, and if you look at verse 5, it says, but whoso keepeth His word, see, so it's not just hearing it, but keeping His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so it got me to thinking a little bit, that when you look at that, look at what is His purpose, what is His will. If you look at John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are but my disciples, if you have love one towards another, or one to another. And of course, I like the message because it says, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love that you have for each other. This is the will of God. This is the purpose of God, that we walk in love, that we walk in love towards one another. And when we talk about purpose, you could also, when you think about the word purpose, you could also look at it as will. So you could also look up, and actually if you look at some of the modern translations, when it says the will of God, it also, in some of the modern translations, it says the purpose of God. So the will of God, the purpose of God, are, can be used interchangeably. And some of the translations, as I say, share that. But just thinking of a couple of scriptures here. In Matthew 26:39, when Jesus was in the garden, He said, and He went a little further, fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, not as I purpose, but as Thou wilt, as Thou have purposed for me. And so He continued in that purpose. And of course, because He did, and you can see, and of course these are familiar scriptures in Isaiah 53:10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. So it was the Lord's will, It was his purpose and plan to bruise and to cause him to become sin. And so a lot of times when we ask, why am I going through this? Why am I walking through this? I was thinking about a particular scripture, and it says all who, I believe, what is the scripture? It says all who will live godly shall suffer persecution. Let me read a couple of scriptures. You know, some folks, if you just take the time and walk through, you can see what the purpose and the will of God is. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "For this is the will of God." This is God's purpose. This is His will. "Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." And again, as I said, the Bible in basic English, that same scripture says, "For the purpose of God for you is this, that you may be holy and may keep yourselves from the desires of the flesh." And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And the Bible in basic English says, "And everything give praise, for this is the purpose of God in Christ Jesus for you." So we can see that if you go through, you can begin to look at what the purpose of God is, what the will of God is for you, and they all have eternal value. His purposes are eternal, and they're forever settled. So you can't get around them some other kind of way. Turn over to John 15. In John 15, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me." And I've just stopped there. So you're abiding in His Word. You're abiding in His will. You're abiding in His purpose. It says, "And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me." So he that abideth in the word, he that abides in his will, in his purpose, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So you can see here, just in this scripture, as I was sharing before, as you abide in him, it says you bear much fruit. Why? Because you are abiding in his purpose, you begin to know and understand the will of God. And you understand his purpose. So there's no hesitation about ministering to people. There's no hesitation to lay hands on the sick. You understand that that's your purpose. Also, as I was sharing Sunday, that when we don't fully understand what our purpose here is in the earth, and I'm convinced, I'm really convinced of this, when you read stories and you read accounts of those ministers that went before us, the John G. Lakes, and all of those that went before and others. And you see the works that were accomplished through them. They had the same distractions, maybe a little more intensified now, but they had distractions in that era. But they stayed focused on their purpose, and they were able to accomplish the things that they did. Now, let me ask you, did the apostles during their time have distractions? Oh, yeah. A lot of distractions. And so when they knew what their purpose was, they didn't get sidetracked with the issues of the day. They stayed and remained focused on the purpose of God, the will of God. And that's why I believe you saw the fruitfulness in these men's and women's lives, because they were totally committed to the purpose of God. And that fruitfulness, as we just read even here in Decision Magazine, they go into these areas and they just show the love of God. That's the purpose of God. And so there's fruit being born, and they're not being sidetracked with the issues of the day. And I think for me, I'm learning to, and I believe it was, again, I believe it was a supernatural thing that Pastor Sarah did at the time to say, for herself personally, I'm stopping to read this, I'm not watching this, I'm not doing this, and to shut off the distractions. And for some of us, it may not be that, it can be whatever the distraction is. That if you spend more time doing that, you know, speakers through the year will say, well, if you're watching Gunsmoke, that's what's going to be in your heart, Gunsmoke. It could be football, it could be something else. Whatever it is, if that's what you're going to spend your time doing, then that's what it, and I'm not talking about just doing it just, you know, here and there. I'm talking about if you're doing that and you're not spending time in His will to find out what His purpose is, because I guarantee you, I know this for me, as a young boy, when I got saved, the fire of God came in me, I could care less about television. I could care less. Because that fire was in me, all I wanted to know was about Him. And sometimes, I'm examining myself. Am I doing everything? Do I still have that fire like I had? And if I don't, why? Is it because I have let too much of the world's activities and life activities get in and interfere with His purpose? You understand what I'm saying? And I think we all need to examine that, because what is His purpose? He left us with His purpose before He ascended, and He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's our commission, along with walking in love. That's our commission. And that is eternal, and that is unchangeable. That's settled. And we are going to give an account for not walking in His purpose, each one of us. We're going to give an account. Are we doing everything that we should be doing? That we know to do. If God's given us some instructions, are we doing that? Are we using everything that we're supposed to be doing to the fullest? And I don't know about you, but I'm examining myself to make sure, because I'm thinking of a scripture here in James. In James chapter 1, and it talks about every good and perfect gift cometh down from the who? From the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, look at the next verse. It says, of his own will, his own purpose, begat he who? Us, with the word of truth, that we should be what? A kind of first fruits of his creatures. And we need to, as first fruits, we need to bear fruit. And that's why he was talking about in John that we need to remain in the vine and bear fruit. And so as we do, as we spend time in his word, as we spend time doing his word, then we're going to understand more clearly, just as Jesus did. Jesus was the Word. And so he fully understood. There was no darkness in him. That's what it says. There's no darkness in him. He fully understood the purpose of God and the will of God and never deviated. And so also for us, as we walk in the light, and I believe I shared that particular scripture on Sunday, that in Romans 12:2 it says, and be not what? Conformed to this world, but do what? Be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Well, as your mind is renewed, you're being transformed to fully understand the will of God and the purpose of God. Because that's what it says further in that verse. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, or his purpose, the perfect purpose of God. And so as we have our minds changed, and I shared that because it was a great insight for me. That particular word, transformed, means metamorpho-u, or it's the word metamorphosis for us in the English, but it means transformed in from one thing into another. This is transformed. This doesn't exist anymore. You're brand new. You're a brand new person. You've been changed from this state to this state. So your mind is completely changed. You don't think the same. You don't act the same. You don't have the same desires. You don't have the same wants. You don't want to go here. You don't want to participate in that. So when you go and somebody says, you want to do that? Yeah, yuck. No, I don't want to go there. I don't have that desire anymore. How does that happen? You are transformed. And that's from what? The seed of God, the purpose of God, the will of God. I'm brand new. I got a new way of thinking. And of course, we know that. We're all experiencing it. But I believe we have an effect on whether it's increased a whole lot or it's just real slow. And we're just eking along. And why are we still in the same spot after 5 years? See? So it says, you get your mind transformed. You be transformed. How? By the Word of God. So it's as you spend more time in God's Word, fellowshipping with Him, you are changed and transformed. So as you are changed and transformed, you don't have to, you know, somebody says, do I have to love that person? No, you don't have to. You want to. You just love because you think differently. Just like these people said, they got down and washed and clipped this man's dirty feet. How did they do that? They've been changed and transformed into a brand new person, a brand new way of thinking. You don't have to. work up wanting to love somebody. You just do. You just love. It's in you. The purpose of God, the love of God, just loves what? Through you. And that's, to me, I think, this is just me thinking out loud here, and I don't want it to sound judgmental or critical, but I believe that if the church, it talks about loving, I believe if the church spends time and immerses himself more in the Word of God and then does what? Not just a hearer, but a doer. It says, what did it say over here in 1 John? It said, let me just read it again. 1 John 2, it says, but whoso keepeth the word, not just hear it, but keeps it. That means I hear it and do it. It says, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So you're being changed. You're being transformed. And that was one of the things that, if you haven't, take the time to go look up on the internet about the Shining Ones. In Rwanda, I forget what area, I don't remember, I don't have my notes here, but it talked about where specifically in Rwanda this happened. And these people, at the time, this was in the 60s, where this particular man, and I may read it at some point, but he was a Rhema Bible Training Center graduate, and the Lord told him to go over. Well, what happened was this man from Rwanda had heard about him, and his father, this was the son, his father was one of the original Shining Ones, and his father had been butchered and killed, and his son heard about this man from Rhema, and he went to his offices in Tulsa, or Broken Arrow. And so that's how that connection was established, that divine connection. And so what happened is this man, the Lord spoke to him and said, now I want you to go over to Rwanda, and I want you to go to this man's village. And so he did, and all of this transpired, and he said he wanted to find out about transformed, and this was the Rhema graduate. He said, I always wondered, can we be transfigured just like Christ? Can we be transfigured just like Christ was transfigured? And the answer was, they had been. And when he interviewed this man, he said, oh no, it didn't happen all at once. It happened over a period of about 5 or 6 years, where they would come together, they would pray, they would spend time in God's Word. Those things that they felt were not pleasing, they asked God for forgiveness. And they said, Lord, get it out. I'm not going to do that anymore. And over a period of time, he said, they began to literally shine. They began to shine. And so I didn't mean to get sidetracked on that, but that's what's being transformed. And we can be transformed. I'll tell you this. I came back from a meeting. I used to go to at least 3, 4, 5 meetings a year at a point in my life, at least 4. I would go to 2 or 3 Kenneth Copeland meetings and maybe 1 or 2. Sometimes it was 2 and 2 or whatever it was. And I would go for the full week. And I didn't eat a lot during those meetings. I'd just maybe have a soup or something like that, something very light. And between the meetings, I would go into the prayer room. This was at the Kenneth Copeland meetings. And they would have intercessory prayer before the 9 a.m. meeting. And then they would have it at lunchtime. I'd skip lunch. And then you'd pray. And then they'd have meetings and so forth. And then you'd have a prayer before the service. Well, I remember coming back from one of those meetings. I don't remember which one it was. When I came into the office, they looked at me and they said, where did you go? They said, there's something different about it. They said, you visually, you're different. Something different. We see it. And so although it wasn't shining, they could see it. You see? And that's why I mean that when you get into the presence of God and you're immersed in those kind of settings, there's a transformation that takes place. And when you walk into some settings, they're going to go, I need Jesus. And that is the purpose of God. That is the will of God. That's the transformation that takes place inside of us, in us. And it's happening in all of us in different degrees and measures. And I'm sure every one of us can say, boy, I remember when, and I see me now. And I see what I was like, and I see what I am now. And so what has happened? A transformation. And so that transformation is the purpose of God. That's the eternal purpose of God, that we be transformed into what? His image. That is the purpose of God. One of them, that we be transformed into his image. Not in heaven, here. Right here, in good old earth. So, I'm just going to stop, since I'm here tonight, and I was kidding, I said I was going to let Pastor Greg answer my questions. And I told him, and he said, sure, why not? We're twins. Why not? You know? If if you have a comment or a question, we'll open the floor up. But I'm excited about, you know, sometimes when we look at the Word, God can open up one word and it can begin to open up a different view of the Scriptures. And of course, we all know about the will of God, but it takes on sometimes a different meaning when you just say, well, you know, the will of God. Yeah, I know what the will of God is. But then when the Lord, when He spoke that to me, I literally came up off my seat a couple of weeks ago when He just said to me, all of my actions have a purpose. I don't do something just to be doing it. I made the heavens and the earth for a purpose. I just didn't make them just to be making. He had a purpose to make this earth. And the Scriptures, when you go and you look at it, He didn't just make the stars and the heavens just to be making it. He made them for the earth. So when you look at all of the things that God made, it surrounded His earth. Because why? He was going to make His man and put him there. And ultimately, He knew that man would fall, and He was going to send His one and only Son to this earth. And so, if He did that for us, we can trust Him for the purposes in our life that we need. We can trust Him that every good and perfect gift is from the Father of above. And His will and His purpose for you is good. It's not for harm. It's for good. And we can trust Him. And as we spend more time in fellowship with Him, we will understand our purpose more clearly. And I'm sure, you know, just like Pastor Sarah, you know, as she has walked 30-plus years as a pastor, there's things that even now in this season of her life, things are becoming more clear to her as to her purpose. So your purpose becomes even clearer sometimes as you walk further down this path. He may not have revealed all of that to you. So just the same way that the Lord spoke through Brother Copeland and said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words and so forth. Well, there's a further purpose in her life. You see, He didn't disclose that when she left and went to Rhema Bible Training Center. So God begins to unfold His purpose as you serve Him. And I'm thinking, Just to hold steady, there's a scripture that I'm thinking about. Let me just look this up real quick here. If you turn to Hosea, I believe it's Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, I believe. My pages are stuck here. Hosea chapter 6. And you can read it in whatever translation you have, but if you look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Then shall we know," what? "If we follow on to know the Lord." See? It says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." So as we follow on, we're going to continually walk in the light and not in darkness. And we're going to know our purpose. And it's going to become clear. Praise God.
Thank you, Pastor Ant. I just want to read a couple of scriptures when you were teaching. John 6, 38 to 41. And I like how you substitute or use purpose for will, because it does give a little broader illumination. It says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will or purpose, but the will or purpose of him who sent me. Right. For this is the will of the Father, or the purpose of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will or purpose of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And I will raise him up at the last day. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And then also I wanted to read Matthew 4:8. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were fishermen. That was their vocation or occupation. But then he spoke to them, and "I will make you fishers of men." He gave them a purpose. Exactly. Sometimes we understand that we have a vocation or occupation, but when we meet Jesus, he gives us purpose. And to understand that, as you were saying, that there's no coincidence in terms of the place that he puts us in. Yeah. That place is merely a position or a platform to fulfill his purpose. And to know that wherever it is, whatever position or platform he's placed you on, it is to do that, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is to be Jesus for those around you. So that's the difference between a vocation and a purpose.
Yeah, and you know, when you understand the purpose of God, I was reading, we get from Corey and Natalie Marshall, we get, you know, information. They'll send us a, you know, an update of what's going on. And when they left here, after they had been off for 3 months, they went back to Afghanistan, and they send a little flyer. Here they are huddled up, and, you know, after they've been here in the States enjoying the warm weather, they're huddled up in the plane. You can see little Mike and with the hat on. They got their hats on, and they're all bundled up in the cold, right? And so he says, "Muddy roads, dirt, bup, 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 bup," you know, and so forth. But he said, "And when we got back and we saw the people, we knew." So you put all that aside, and the purpose of God, the love of God for the people, that stuff means nothing. Yeah, it's uncomfortable, it's unpleasant. But when you see the people and you know you're supposed to be there, the love of God, the purpose of God is in you. And see, that was the key for me, you know, that when you begin to know, he gives you a purpose. He tells you what your purpose is. I was reading, I don't know who I was sharing it with, but some of you know or are familiar with Rick Renner. And, of course, you know, he has a number of books and has been in the ministry a number of years. Some of you may know or don't know. You go to his website and you read, and it was really the first time I spent a good amount of time looking at his website and really looking at who the man was. And, of course, some of you know, because some of the material he writes, that he's really, I guess you could use the term, he's a scholar or scholarly in the Greek language. He talks about, he reads a Greek Bible, he's scholarly in the Greek language, and so he unfolds the scriptures in using the Greek language, and he has a number of books that do that. Now, who would know, only God, that in 1992, the Lord spoke to him, and through a bunch of circuitous things, he ended up over in Russia. And when he got there, the Lord said, "This is your new home." And so he moved his wife and three children. They sold everything and they moved to Russia, to Kiev. And he said when he got there, he saw how similar, because Russian, from what we've heard, is a very difficult language to read and to write and to speak. He said when he got there, he said, "Wow, how similar this is to the Greek language in writing and speaking." Well, who would know that? He didn't. And God said, "I want you to go here and move your family." Well, they've been there for 20 plus years. They live in Russia. They have offices here in the United States, and he flies back and forth. He's writing books. He goes to Turkey. He's there now. Right now he is, currently. He's writing another book. But they started one church in Kiev, now has over 3,000 members. The Lord told him, "Turn it over. I want you to now move to Moscow." They are currently in Moscow, and they have now purchased, which is unheard of, they've purchased and have been allowed by the government, they now own property and a building. And they've built something, and they have 1,500 plus members in Moscow. And he said that they have, like his wife, she was going to be an opera singer and was redirected, and the Lord said, "I didn't give you that voice to sing opera, I gave it to you to praise me." And so her sons have a gift in singing. They have the most sophisticated recording studio in all of Russia. And they come to their studios. The secular singers come to their studios. When they first went to Russia, they had an opportunity to buy a TV tower. They have a TV station that they've been operating for almost 20 years that transmits the gospel on television to over 50 million people. So they're all proficient. All her three boys are now grown. They've all married Russian women, Christian, and have children and so forth. But they live in Russia. And and when you read the reaching effect of that ministry in that country, that's what I mean when you begin to know God's purpose. When you abide in Him, and He in you, you bear much fruit. So you're not sidetracked with stuff. You're bearing much fruit. And that's why I say, you know, begin to find out what your purpose is. Purpose spiritually and and also naturally. What is my purpose here in the earth? What am I supposed to be doing? And you're gonna bear much fruit. Last two questions. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, for this message. And I believe the scripture that I received was Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know For I know the plans I have for you.
Right.
Plans to give you a future and an expected end. And I have the New Living Translation.
Right.
It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Mm-hmm. So that's what I received while you were speaking about purpose. It's not for disaster. God has a purpose for each one of us.
Right.
And as you were sharing, when each one of us fall into the plan and purpose, it all works.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Sure does. Sure does.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. Always thankful for the message. While you were talking, the Lord brought back to my remembrance from whence he brought me. And that the reason I can stand as I'm standing now is because he brought me here, where the word is thought. The uncompromised word is thought. And he brought me where I could see not only the word being taught, but it being lived. The example there. So I know that I know that I know that if I stand on the word, I will see changes. And I've seen changes in my life mm-hmm. because I've stand on the word.
Yes.
I've heard people say things about this is going to be that way, but I know what the word said because I've been taught the word. Mm-hmm. So I stand on the word. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm concerned, the word is the last authority on everything that concerns me. And this scripture keep coming to mind. According to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea, the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Amen, 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 amen. So how many are more determined to know what the purpose and the will of God is? See, and also, I believe, isn't that what it says in John? We read that as in John 15. It also says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, right? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When you're transformed, you'll know what the will and purpose of God is. And when you ask, you'll be asking according to his purpose and his will. You won't ask for something because you'll know. You won't ask for something that's not his will because you'll know. And you'll receive because you'll know it's his will and his purpose for you. Praise God. Did you get something? Amen. That's what's important. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in the Word. Thank you for this facet of your Word that we can understand and it's unfolded to us. We get a little more light. And as your Word says, when you see it, then we're supposed to do it. And as we see your Word, we're not to be just hearers thereof, but doers. And so, Father, we commit to seeing your word and doing it. And Father, as we do, we thank you that those that keep your word, those that do your word, will be perfected in the love of God. And Father, we give you all of the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.